Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. Happy New Year. Pass me a beer and long may this unbeaten run continue. First Falkirk Daft of 2024, and what a year it has been for the mighty Falkirk Bairns. I'm your host, John McInally, and as ever, joined by the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Vitality himself, the Ginger God of Pod, Ross Wayne, everyone.
Happy New Year, buddy. Happy New Year, son.
I know, but this is the first time we've actually spoke to each other, because I missed, we'll get into the Stirling Albion game. I missed the Stirling Albion game. I didn't make it down to answer. It's the first time I've seen you in ages.
Yeah, it has been a few weeks, isn't it? What was the last one? Was it just before Annan, was it? Last podcast we did?
Yeah, because you dodged out on, unfortunately, Ross missed the Falkirk Daft Christmas night out, which I was there was an attendance of one took, and my brother came on to it as well. We went to see Parliamo on the garage in Glasgow, and by the way, if you've not seen Parliamo, go and see them. They're absolutely
sick. I know. I'll need to hit it next time. Just unavoidable pre-Christmas, unfortunately. But definitely looking forward to
it. I just put a shout out because it was the Falkirk Daft Christmas night, which seems like an eternity ago. Andy, who drums for Parliamo on the drums, sporting the Falkirk kit. A lot of Falkirk Bairns there. Spoke to Andy's dad's mate, and our couple of Falkirk Bairns. Falkirk tattoos. It was brilliant. Chance on the go for Andy on the drums. I'm not just saying this because he's obviously a Falkirk boy, but honestly, Parliamo, watch this space. They are going places. What an amazing band they are. We need to get Andy actually on the show.
100%, that would be brilliant to get
talk
him on.
Talk about the band and everything, because they're really, really good. So check them out on Spotify or whatever your music provider is. They're on all sorts of things, but they've got some amazing tunes. So that was the Falkirk Daft Christmas night out, which Ross missed. And I've already seen a message today saying that he's dodging out of pints this Saturday as well.
I'm not sure about the Saturday. I've got a lot on this weekend. I'll try. I was out last weekend, obviously. I know you didn't manage to make it. I was out last weekend. We had a good few before the Stirling Albion game, but yeah. I'll see what I can do this week. See what I can do.
Yeah. So Christmas has been, it's gone. We're into the new year. Did you get any good Falkirk gifts from Santa, Ross?
No, not personally, I didn't. I did go down to the shop and buy a couple of gifts for family, but I was there. I think I sent you the picture, actually.
I'm sure your daughters loved the Falkirk gifts.
No, it wasn't even for them, no, honestly.
Your wife, here you go, Jillian.
I'm well warned not to get the kids in from anymore. No, I think I showed you them, actually. I got my mother-in-law and my mum, they've both got dogs, so I got them a dog bandana, I know you're going to say.
It disappointed me greatly, because obviously here at Falkirk Daft we have our own merch, and we actually have a range of Falkirk Daft dog bandanas. You can get them in our shop, shop.spreadshirt, or actually shop at falkirk.falkirk.daft. I can't even remember.
Merch.falkirk.daft.
I'm on the ball. Merch.falkirk.daft.co.uk. So Ross, rather than buying a Falkirk Daft bandana for the dogs, went and bought them from the club. Well, listen, you're putting money back in the club, but as we always say, all the money they raise through our merch goes back into the club anyway.
Does indeed. That's very true. That'll be my next purchase then, John.
Disappointing. To be fair, I should probably get one for my dog as well. I bought a Falkirk Daft baby grow for my pal's newborn. So,
fantastic! Excellent. Yeah, have they sent Yeah, oh, amazing. Have they had it on yet, or is it 2E?
I've not had the picture, but I bought, like, you know how you buy babies like things in advance because they get so much of it. It was like 6 months, so wait six months,
right, okay,
and yeah. Then we'll see her in it. But yes, if you got a good Falkirk gift over Christmas, let us know about it. And maybe there's a few purchases on our merch show actually. So if you did get some Falkirk Daft related over Christmas, please send us a picture with it on. We'd love to see that. And you got any New Year's resolutions, Ross?
No, I don't think so, Barry. It's 2023 was obviously a bit of a tough year for me personally. Football aside, this second half of the year has been fantastic.
It's been a bizarre, you know, I think the biggest New Year's resolution we all want as Falkirk supporters is to be out of this league.
Yeah, I would do. I would be massively chuffed with that. I don't want to be selfish, but like a wee cup win in the Challenge Cup would be nice.
All right, Challenge Cup win, out the league, and run to the semi-finals again.
Cup, Europa League. Yeah, it's not much to ask, is it?
No, exactly. Thanks to Jamie Douglas, our Texan Bairn, who's got in touch. Says, Tam Lang, may your rums reek. Happy New Year when it comes to the Bairns. Ian Farr, here's the 2024. May it be prosperous and championship winning. Laura Roberts says, hi, just wondering if you could give my dad a shout out on the next podcast. He's 91 and was way down at Annan. He's been supporting Falkirk since he was a wee boy and used to lift me over the turnstile at Brockville when I was about 7 years old. He follows Falkirk Daft on YouTube. This must be our oldest listener. So shout out to John Fraser, who watches us or listens to us. Hello, John!
That's poor John.
Sorry, John. Sorry about that. And do you know what, Ross? We've actually had a celebrity get in touch with us as well. Denon Lewis has been back in touch with us.
Has he? Right, okay.
Hi, guys. Ahead of the upcoming game against Cove Rangers, I would like to ask you to please pass on my best wishes and a happy new year to some of my fellow Hartley duds. So all the best to Tom Dallison, Ruben Samu, Tom Owen Evans, Dimitri Froxilia, Scott Harrison, Dan Turner, Prince Bobbin, Dylan Mackin, Joe McKee, Reese Greenwood, Marcus Haber, Mark Russell, and of course, the gaffer, Paul Hartley. What a squad that was. Let's hope we can organise a reunion in 2024 to remember all the good times and great laughs we had. A very special mention also to Mustafa Dumbuya, a special talent signed by the gaffer who could not break into the team and left the club with a total of zero appearances. Given the squad, that is the hell of an achievement. Don't forget that I am shite at football, but brilliant at anagrams. Now listen to this one. Up your hell rat. Now if you get a bit of pen and paper out right now, ladies and gentlemen, put down up your hell rat, work out what that's an anagram of. Your good friend, Denon. So thanks once again for Denon getting in touch with us. Obviously listens to the podcast quite a lot and a regular correspondent with us now.
Yeah, no, fair play to him. Where is he actually playing his trade now? Do we know?
Oh, probably some non-league side in England, I am guessing. Well, we'll have a quick Google. Where do we think the last appearance we saw him was on Love Island? Where is Denon Lewis now? See that, but actually talking Love Island, see that big Uzi, see who was on Love Island, scored for the Edinburgh at the weekend.
Oh, is he back playing?
He's back. Oh. He scored at the weekend. Right, okay. Denon Lewis is currently playing for Woking. Now, bear in mind, this man is a striker. His previous club, Boreham Wood, who were actually in the same division as Wrexham, he got 5 goals in 64 appearances. And at Woking, he's currently on 2 goals in 16 appearances. So it's going well for
Did you see speaking of that team, did you see that they had Rangers had refused to play them?
Who, Wrexham or Boreham Wood?
No, Woking.
Woking?
Yeah, because they don't do Woking away.
Very good. That's the first one of 2024, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Right, listen, before we go on, we've got to say thanks and a happy new year to Haldane Construction in 2024. They are holding our hand this season in terms of sponsorship, and we really appreciate it. We had a brilliant giveaway over Christmas where Haldane and Peter gave us a brilliant Haldane Construction box and loads of Falkirk goodies, so we gave that away. So thanks very much to Peter and the team over the way. I hope all the guys have a great Christmas. But as ever, they're back this year doing what they do, offering construction and building projects throughout the Central Belt, which they have been doing, of course, for 2 decades now, get your extensions done, your new builds, all that sort of stuff. They'll take on any project you throw their way. Peter and the team are winning awards left, right and centre. They'll take a collaborative approach to design, budget and the management of projects, and they'll maintain a strong line of communication throughout the project, and they'll keep you in the know. So get involved with Haldane if you're thinking about building projects. Quality and loyalty at the heart of the business. Haldaneconstruction.co.uk is where you'll get them. Get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook, or you can pop Peter and the team an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Right, let's get into some club news, Ross. Bonnie Rig Rose, we're both going to that. I'm looking forward to the away day. One, I've not ticked that one off. Have you?
Yes, I was there. Not in the friendly this summer, but remember we played them in the League Cup.
That's away, right.
2022, yep. I think it was. Yeah, I went through that night. Tidy wee ground. Still shocked that we only got 600 tickets, to be honest.
I think the club, I saw that the club are asking for more, but I guess it will depend on segregation and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But yeah.
You know, it was good to get tickets. We're down early doors. Shout out to, there must have been about 100 to 150 fans there from early doors last Thursday morning. Not the warmest of weather either.
I know. So, by the way, hats off to Ross Wayne, who went and stood in the queue for us all to get a ticket. It's so well played, Ross.
Yeah, mug.
Yeah. Yeah, you put out the message saying, "Is anyone want a ticket?" I was like, and then everyone piled on saying, "Aye, please, Ross. Yeah. So that should be good. So it's completely sold out, and that's obviously the first step.
I don't know how we're getting to Bonnyrigg. That's a separate topic. How the hell do you get to Bonnyrigg?
That's a very good point. So I think there's a bus that runs from Waverley. Listen, we'll find out the details on that, because I'm sure a lot of people are asking that very same question. I know is that there's a supporter, a Falkirk supporter, that lives near Bonnyrigg by the name of Andrew White, who's a previous pundit on this podcast. So there's a party happening at Andrew White's I've heard he's having a party for all Falkirk supporters. So we'll give you more details on that as they come in. Other things happening, Falkirk FC put on our podcast. It's not like us to promote on our podcast, but it is a club. So episode 11 of the Falkirk Football Club podcast now available to stream. So if you're bored of listening to our nonsense, listen to that. Colin this week's joined by Michael White and Alan Brown of the Heritage Trust. They're basically, as we're approaching the 150th anniversary, they're going to discuss the club history and the new book, which I'm sure a lot of people got for Christmas as well. I really need to get a hold of a copy.
I'm going to need to try and get the next...
They're doing another run of it, but because I missed out on it. By the way, FYI, for my wife, she goes, "I never know what to get you for Christmas. Just go up to the Falkirk shop and anything from there, I'll be quite happy with, you know what I mean?" But anyway, so I didn't get any Falkirk gifts, but that is definitely a good gift to get if for a bear in life or for birthdays and all that sort of stuff. Since we last spoke as well, Ross, we've got a new signing, Ryan Shanley, who obviously Edinburgh have their troubles ongoing at the moment. You see a lot of players leaving there and getting picked up. I think Stillen Albion got one of them. I think Clyde have had one of them. I think that they're picking. There's a lot of players. Edinburgh players obviously left the club just due to the financial problems that Edinburgh seem to be having at the moment. And we've managed to get Ryan Shanley on a 6-month contract with an option of an additional year. A 20-year-old striker who started off his career at Hibs. He's made appearances obviously for Edinburgh, scoring 4 times this season for them. I mean, I don't know much about the boy. You know, I've kind of asked around, and I was told that, very good prospect, very good player, but maybe has a wee bit of that Hibs mentality, if you know what I mean. So I'm hoping...
As in the Riordan...
Well, mentality. I don't know what that means, but I just hope, like, obviously, he's 22, he's a young boy, coming into the club... getting our crack at full-time football. So I'm really hoping it will come through. And it's interesting because, you know, it's not a department I thought we need strengthened with Jordan Allen sitting there on the bench, and obviously McKeever doing the business at the moment. And we have options to move different people there. But
we don't know what's obviously going to come in January either, Jordan. I personally wouldn't be looking to shift too many on. I think I was quite vocal in this recently when we talked about it. I think... Why, unless we have to financially, I would just keep the squad as it is, really, because, and I'm not saying we don't freshen up. If we've got money to freshen up, freshen up. But I don't know if you want too many on the outdoor. because it's potentially would it upset the camp. I don't know. And we've obviously got such a good team spirit there just now. In terms of Shanley, like you've said, I don't know too much about him, but I tell you one thing, I trust John McGlynn after the last two or three windows that he's had. He's been brilliant in the transfer market. So if he thinks he's going to be good enough, and do you know what, it's 6 months. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
No, exactly. I mean, maybe it is the striker that, you know, we've talked about on this podcast before. You know, McKeever's been the fit that we've been looking for at a striker to fit that McGlynn system. We probably didn't have that last season. But maybe we are missing that different option, because we all know Jordan Allen is more prone to probably working as a two, and we've talked about this being that fox in the box type striker. Whether we maybe Shanley is that kind of player that Burrow was, a different option that can get in behind, you know, take, you know, run in behind and look for balls in. So yeah, maybe that's just part of the master plan. It just gives us another option in terms of that. It does ask the question of what does this mean for Jordan Allen?
I'm hoping, like obviously it's naturally potentially going to give him even more competition to get off the bench, because you wouldn't drop McKeever just now. No. I really, really hope it doesn't mean he's going anywhere. I do like Jordan. I think he's useful. I think I'd rather have him inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. Yes. So for that reason, I think I'd rather keep a hold of him. So yeah, fingers crossed it doesn't mean he's going anywhere. But you're right, it does put him in a bit of a position, because it's another player that's going to be vying to get on currently to replace McKeever.
You know what, it's January time, so I think it's about time we launch Benny T's watch again. Have you heard anything speculation in terms of transfers, Ross?
Not yet. No, it's been really, really quiet, hasn't it?
The thing is, I don't know where we could strengthen. I honestly don't see any area pitch, because you look at the guys we've got sitting on the bench who are all very good players, but just obviously the way we're playing, the way the first 11's playing at the moment, they're finding it very hard to get in. You look at obviously Alfie Agyeman, you know, Sean Mackey, players like that you know, just can't get into. Like Steve McGinn sitting on the bench, you know, all these brilliant players are sitting on the bench. So like you say, you don't want to upset that apple cart by throwing other faces into it, you know, and more competition. I honestly can't see where we can strengthen.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I really don't know if we'll see much movement, to be honest, John. I think John McGlynn's a guy who likes to get his business done as soon as he can, and he's obviously snapped up Ryan Shanley. Maybe that'll be the only incoming. I know I say there's no one leaving, but maybe that will be the only incoming. And if it is, I don't think we've got much to complain about, because we're pretty settled. We've got a strong starting 11. We've got a strong bench. And as you said, unless there's like a couple of freak injuries this month, I don't know.
I mean, that's the only thing. But then you do think, if you've got an injury, what enough cover there? I mean, Hendo we know can drop back into centre-half. Sean Mackey we know can come into centre-half. Because I guess that's the area of the pitch we think. We've got Bisland there on loan. We've got Ethan Ross. I mean, Ethan Ross is a fantastic footballer. And he can't get into the side of the way we're playing at the moment. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to see much in the way of transfer. But we will be on Benny T's watch for the rest of the month, just see who turns up for their fish supper. Right, okay, let's briefly touch before we get into the Stirling game and a couple other bits and bobs. On Annan away, you didn't make it down to that one, Ross. It was a 3-0 win, but let's just marvel over the two centre-half goals, by the way. Jesus, Cole Donaldson at it again with 25 yards, stroke it into the bottom corner, and Mr. Lang, take a bow, son. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Couple of brilliant finishes, weren't they? And McKeever's wasn't a bad finish either, to be fair. But yeah, Donaldson's firstly, like that strike, he's got it in him, because we've seen it, haven't we?
Aye.
So we know he's got a strike on him. It was just a phenomenal hit. And yeah, fair play to the big Bairns crowd. Did I see the club had said there was something like 703 or something, which made up a crowd of 900 odd. So outnumber the home crowd once again, not just by a small margin either. So, but they were absolutely loving life down at Annan. And I can imagine they were, because it was probably about 4 hours in the Annan Social Club prior.
I saw even big Tam Lang strolling in the Annan Social Club as well, just to say hello to the fans. It was amazing.
Do you know, I heard his dad and his brother were at the game as well. So they'd travelled up from England, I think.
Right.
And by all accounts, his dad and his brother are of the same mould as Mr. Lang. I think it could be a family of models, apparently.
Well, remember, so, Alan, we had Alan was sat next to his dad at the Queen of the South game.
That's good shout.
So, yeah. All right, so his brother and dad are big handsome bastards as well, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, comes from good stock this time, but what a goal, what an absolute goal. And I'm sure we'll be talking about goals. We put out, actually, in the conclusion of 2023, put out on our social media, what was your goal, game, and player of 2023? And do you know what? I'm unsurprised that it's all been quite unanimous on that. So I'm going to ask you the question first, Ross. Goal, game, and player of 2023.
I'm going to say Morrison for the last minute winner against Montrose. And because it was a phenomenal strike, but also what it meant, because it kept the run going that we were on. And it was that was probably the first tough game we'd had of the season, and it meant a win. So for that, I'm going to give it to him. There's other contenders, though. Christ almighty.
There's one obvious contender you forgot.
Well, I know you're talking about Mr. McGuffey.
Yes, scored from Jesus. This is like Gordon Smith with the crunchy goal all over again, by the way, against Huntley. But that did get him voted goal of the round. Ross has just suddenly forgot that McGuffey scored from the halfway line.
No, I did. It was a phenomenal moment. I'm trying to blank most of last season out, I think.
Okay, fine.
In terms of, what was the other one? So goal?
Game.
So, do you know, I'm in two minds. I've got the Air Cup tie last year.
Yeah.
It was what a night that was at the stadium. It just felt like we needed that. But and Hamilton away a few weeks ago, I think may top it, to be honest. Just, again, some atmosphere through there. It felt like a big day, and we got the win as well. So I'm going to go Aki's away.
Aki's away, right, okay. And finally, player of the year. That's player of 2023.
If we're talking the full year, I think it has to be someone who's been there the full year. So I'll go with Mr. Morrison. I think he's had some fantastic goals, performances, and he'll be a miss. He will be a miss whenever he departs. So,
I mean, I'm sure there must be clubs looking at his. Callum's got another. I'm not too sure. Has he got a year and a half, or has he only got 6 months?
Oh, no, he's only got 6 months left, John. But I think. I think even if we go up, I think he'll have bigger offers financially than us. And do you know what? He's given us, what, 3-4 years, isn't he?
Yeah.
Coming up in fact, it'll be 4 years this year. I'd love him to stay, but I just think he'll have better offers. I don't think he'll leave this window. Not a chance. Not a chance. I know there's been some chat about him signing a pre-contract or...
I wonder if it will be something like a pre-contract at a Motherwell... Or one of the
South. There's obviously rumours about clubs down south being interested in him. And if he does go down south, then he's probably going to get a fairly hefty wage rise.
I mean, certainly his highlight reel is outstanding. I'm sure his agent's punting that out to the clubs down south and looking to get him a move. I think I've got to go for him. How can you not give someone who's scored for the halfway line come off the bench and scored a hat trick?
It was Peterhead, though, John.
Aye, but Ross, it could have been anyone. The control and the way he did it, and from inside his own half, chested it and then basically half volleying it into the from half.
He did it.
It's a phenomenal skill. So, Mr. McGuffey has got to be my goal.
I hate to go on Ron Keane, though, but he was just doing his job, wasn't he?
game, I'm going to give it to, I think they are. I thought that was the first time, you know, we've really seen obviously the ultras come into play in that game, obviously the Tifo and everything, and I thought the atmosphere and everything in that game to get to Hampden again, what that meant to the club. I think I'm going to give it to the Ayr game and player. Going to say, I think Cal Morrison, you can't look beyond Cal Morrison in terms of the full year. You know, he was brilliant, you know, last season he was a standout in the team, probably a player of the year, and this season has been outstanding. I think it'll be a very interesting conversation come the end of the season in terms of player of the season, because I think there's going to be a few contenders in there, and I think Callum Morrison being one of them. But yeah, I think for 2023, that's going to be the goal game and player of the year for me. You guys have been in touch as well. See, Craig says goal 2023, Morrison, agreeing with you, Ross, against Montrose, Falkirk Kerr and Callum Morrison for the player of the year.
Yeah, Daryl, similar to myself, he said Morrison's last minute winner versus Montrose. He's joined you in the air game in the Scottish Cup as well. In terms of player of the year, though, he's torn between Tam Lang and Calvin Miller. Both have contributed massively.
Well, I think it'll be tough.
Right as well, they have.
That's two of definitely being contention for our player of the year. Tyler says goal has to be McGuffey's. I mean, meaning though, he says Kennedy's versus Era, actually, the one that deflected in. Hamilton away, Greece with you for the game, and Morrison over 2023.
Yeah. Colin said the air game was a very special night. First true feel-good moment for the club in years. That's true as well.
That's true, yeah.
The Morrison goal against Montrose was mental. Player for me, though, is Leon McCann. Consistently 8 out of 10.
Do you know what? Again, we don't mention Leon McCann enough on this podcast. He has been absolutely Mr. Consistent for, you know, he never drops below a 7. Never drops below a 7 in terms of his performance. He's absolutely Mr. Consistent. Will says, goal, without doubt, was McGuffey. Game air and player, big sexy Tam Lang.
Indeed. Greg says, goal can only be McGuffey's. Yeah. I'd be surprised if anyone says otherwise.
Yes.
game, he agrees with you. Air in the cup had everything. And player, again, he agrees with us as well. Cal, over the 12 months. But a special call out to Mr. Tam Lang, our best signing for years.
Fully agree with that. And Inge kind of agrees with Greg there. He says, two words sum up for me so far. Tam Lang. So she's went Tom Lang though. But we asked the question and he just went Tom Lang. That Tom Lang can be the answer to everything in my opinion. Anyway, right, listen, so let's chat about Stirling Albion, and we like to do that every week on Falkirk Daft in the company of a guest pundit. And this week's guest pundit is the one and only Grant Thompson.
How are you doing, guys?
Hi Grant, happy new year, buddy.
Happy new year.
There you go. Grant, listen, thank you so much. Not only a guest pundit, but also the winner of our Haldane Construction box before Christmas. There we go, everyone. So you got a visit from Peter and the big box from Haldane just before Christmas. Did you re-gift any of it, or did you keep it for yourself?
I don't think I really got a chance to re-gift any of it, because the wee one was right into the box as soon as it got delivered. So she was stealing the beanie hats and the tablet that was in the box. So, no, it was nice. So, thank you very much. And it was lovely to meet Peter as well.
Nice. Yeah, top lad. Top lad. And
we'll give you a coat for a swimming pool, Grant.
Funnily enough, no, but maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Yeah. If you're watching the YouTube version of it, actually, you might recognise Grant. Now, why would people recognise you, Grant?
So, over the years, I've had a little side hustle of doing some acting work, and
your diction's very good, by the way.
some of my side work includes being in Still Game. So I was in two episodes of Still Game, and Ross twigged when I met him the other day there. yeah, Grant, you've been in Still Game. Fancy doing this? So yeah, here I am, and I've done a few bits and bobs. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'8" and I'm a big guy. So there's not a lot of 6'8" actors around. So if there's these wee niche roles come up, I tend to stand a good chance of getting them. So over the years, I've done a few bits and bobs on screen.
Grant, see when I chatted to you last Saturday, I'm very conscious I was 5'8", never mind 6'8".
So I believe I'm holding my hand up. I'm not the big Still Game aficionado that Ross is. You were in a scene with Isa, is that right?
So I played the same character in two episodes. The first episode I did was the Hug Me special, which was actually on repeated on BBC Scotland.
Oh, that's on every. Have you got a repeat fee on that, Grant?
Hopefully we'll soon find out.
It's on all the time.
It's just a small part I played in it. It's basically I'm the fat bastard that breaks the lift, basically, in the Hugmanay special. And the other The other episode I was in was Hot Seat, where they're kind of battling Tam and Coe to try and get the best park bench during the heat wave. So I played the same character on that as well. So
I know. And honestly, mate, I'm proper fangirling here. This
And I believe the catchphrase that I'm not saying it is keep him coming when Isaac keeps giving you sweeties.
Yeah, in the lift, she offers me some sweeties, and the phrase is keep him coming. So yeah,
no, I was just about to say you have to do the line. You have to.
Brilliant, but that's not, I'm going to have to get you to do that again when we ask about Falkirk results for the rest of the season. But let's talk about the game and talk about first of all your Falkirk history, Gran. Why did you start supporting the club?
So I did a bit of research last night when I found out I was coming on this. So my first game was on the 10th of October, 1987. My dad took me to see Falkirk v Hearts, and Hearts cuffed us 5-1. And after the game, I said to my dad, "Can we come back next week?" So my dad said, "Yep, you've got the makings of a Falkirk fan there, son." But that was 1987, and that was around about the time where, I don't know if you guys remember it, but there was a TV programme on in 1988 called Playing for Real.
The
Sabutio one. And Rockfall featured quite heavily in that.
Mm, yeah.
So between my dad starting to take me to these games and seeing this programme with Rockfall and Falkirk, it just captured my imagination and my kind of... My liking for supporting Falkirk, so that's how I got into Falkirk.
Yeah, well, you'll have a jump on a lot of people here, but who was your favourite player? And we always say put the caveat out with the Holy Trinity. Someone actually asked me about the Holy Trinity the other day. They're actually saying, who is the actual Holy Trinity? So explain it as well. Ken McAllister, Russell Lattipe, and Simon Stainod are the modern day Holy Trinity. I know there's a lot of older bairns we've already heard from, John, our 91-year-old. Listens to the podcast, who probably has a different Holy Trinity, but for the modern day Holy Trinity for the likes of us is Lattipe, Stainrod, and McAllister. Out with those players, though, Grant, do you have a favourite?
So, when I first joined the junior bairns, when it first got booted up back in the 80s, the application form said, "Who's your favourite Falkirk player?" And at the time, I remember seeing Crawford Battey. So I think I'm going to stick with that. Crawford was a bit of a hero when I was growing up, and that's a player that I kind of idolised. So yeah, I think Crawford Baptiste.
Stories, Grant, at the Fortress Brockville night were brilliant as well, weren't they, John? They really were.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the was Tam Lang before there was Tam Lang, was Crawford Baptiste, the big silver fox that he is, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Men wanted to be him.
Women wanted to be with him,
Women wanted to be with him. Yeah, no, he was a good looking. He was a good looking guy.
Still is at the age of 65. By the way, we're speaking about the Fortress Brockville night, saying he just actually retired from playing five aside. Not long ago. So unbelievable. Still looks fit as a fiddle as well. Still looks like he'd do a job in the park these days.
But if you ever look at him, you ever look at like Sammy McGivern, I think, still kind of looks like Sammy McGivern back in the day.
He does,
as well.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the football then. Obviously, Falkirk 5, Stirling Albion 0 at the weekend. First of all, got to say a big shout out to everyone that got down to the ground with snow shovels prior to the game. On Saturday, you saw even pictures of John McGlynn out with one. Ross, you were too busy in the pub.
I felt exceptionally bad when I saw the club tweet. However, I had just got a pint in at the feature. the guilt didn't last too long because I was optimistic that our brothers and sisters would get the game on for us.
Exactly. Did you know ask behind the bar at the Wheat Sheaf if they had a spare shovel and were off down to the stadium? No,
I was too busy talking to Richard Goff's son.
Oh, you've revealed that now, by the way, because that was
maybe a secret. Oh.
So there you go. The American that serves behind the bar at the Wheat Sheaf, as given away by Ross, there is Richard Goff's son. There you go. That was meant to be a Falkirk Daft mystery, and he's just blown it.
So how did Richard Goff's son end up in Falkirk?
We have no idea. It's a brilliant question.
No, we don't
it's
have
a brilliant idea. Question. But there we go.
Fantastic, right. Barb.
So thanks to all the volunteers. You saw John McGuinn out with the so managed to get the game on because it was just mental. I unfortunately missed the game because I had to go into work and do the Rangers Celtic game at work. So I missed it. But I was like, honestly, I was like, oh, driving through because I had ideas of like going, doing, there was another producer coming in and I had visions of me, right, he'll come in, I'll get away the football, but the snow just put the end to all that because the conditions in Glasgow were mental. I drove through at 10:30. I thought, oh, that's a nice bit of snow at Cumbernauld. And I got to like Rob Royce and Bishop Briggs and it was just like big, fat, white snow. M8 just knackered. So I missed the game, unfortunately. Gutted, absolutely gutted. But chats off to all the Bairns who got out and cleared the pitch. And what a game it was. My God, like, unbelievable. You know, no changes. The only change we had was Yeats back in for Bisland, which I think's fair enough. I mean, Bisland played well at Annan, in all accounts. But I think Finn Yeats has earned his right to stroll back in, hasn't he, Ross?
I would say so. He must be one of the first names on the team sheet every week, Finn. We talked about Leon McCann there just earlier, John, and he's an 8 out of 10 player. Well, Finn's an 8 out of 10 player every week as well. I don't genuinely... He may have the odd moment in a game, but proper Mr. Reliable, and he's such a young lad as well. He's brilliant for his age.
Yeah. I mean, it was relentless. We keep using the word relentless in this podcast this season. It was relentless from, like, the kickoff when, you know, Morrison hits that shot after good work from McCann. Keeper makes a good save, goes out for a corner, and then from the corner, we're off to the races. Simple corner from Miller. Big Hendo up there. Boom. You know, just got the jumping Stirling Albion defender, and it's 1-0 straight off the bat, Grant.
It was good to see Hendo get a goal, but it kind of made me think, I actually want to see him getting more goals because he should be up there. He's a big, tall lad. He should be getting more goals. But no, it was great to see him on it. I was chuffed for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll talk about a chance that came from later on, but I think Hendo, like, it just seems to be everyone weighing in with the goals. Obviously, five different scorers there on Saturday as well. Who needs strikers, eh? then
I agree, John. I agree with Grant though. He's got the ability to get his head on almost every cross that comes on into the box. Yeah. And as you'll say, we'll talk about another chance he had later on in the game. That probably should have went in as well, but he's definitely got, I think, half a dozen to 10 goals in him potentially a season.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He certainly offers that. I mean, and then right after it, we've got Miller causing all sorts of problems, which, God, he was unbelievable from what I saw, and just looked unplayable. But there he is, all sorts of problems. Big sexy Tam Lang striding forward, feeding it in, which led to a corner, and then a well-worked routine, which looked clearly like it came from the training ground, and what a finish from Miller. That turn and just hit was outstanding, Ross.
It was, as you said, it was a really well-worked move from the training ground. At first, I didn't think he'd hit it hard enough, because you wondered about, is he crossing it, is he shooting, but it was a shot. Brilliant finish though, and when you look, I didn't appreciate it at the time. I just thought, oh, it was a short corner, and then he's whipped it in. But actually, it was just a really well worked short corner routine. I did hear somebody moan behind me. They go, "I fucking hate short corners."
By the way, that's short corners are generally my pet peeve as well. So I would have said the exact same if I was there. Was it a short? Did you see it as a short, or do you see it as a cross, Grant?
No, it was definitely a shot. I don't think there's any doubt in that. But what Miller's got is he's anything he does, if it's a pass or if it's a shot, it's always with pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah.
And he finds passes that a lot of other players can't find, and that's what he's brilliant at.
So,
and
I mean,
on you go.
Yeah, I mean. So then he's, like you say, it's just from crosses, it's from corners. So that's us, one assist and one goal already. Then we're on to two assists after another great cross from him and Ross McKeever doing Ross McKeever things at the back post.
Yeah, and that was the signal for half of the Stirling Albion crowd to leave at 3-0 as well. There was a chunk of them left at 3-0, which is just a beautiful sight after, what, 14 and a half minutes. But yeah, now it was just before, was it just before the third goal, Grant? I can't remember. He did like a bit of a, there was like a wee shimmy or something. And it looked purposeful. I can't remember if it was the third or the fourth goal, but he did like a wee purposeful tummy slash step over, didn't he?
Yeah, the guy's quality. The guy's he's very similar to Morrison on that other side there. Yeah. And he's doing the exact same job as Morrison on that other side. He's wanting to hold on to it, I think.
Dare we say it, he's more consistent than Callum Morrison. I think he might be. No, John, I think I love Morrison, you know I do, but I think I trust Miller more with the ball. I'll put it out there, and I don't know if he's agree with that or not.
I'll go with you. Morrison does blow hot and cold. Oh, I wasn't going to be negative on this podcast. I was going to be really positive. but Morrison, Morrison's great 90% of the time, but he does have games where I don't know. He's just not turned up. And but Miller, on the other hand, seems to be playing well every game I've seen him in.
Yeah, so. I think Mwogi, though, is another player that we've got at this level who shouldn't be at this level. I mean, it was Morton he was at, wasn't it, before coming to us?
Last year, I'm sure he was, and was he not playing like left-back or something random like that?
God almighty, Morton must have some players if they're letting Calvin Miller go. It's like, because that, I mean, you see what he's doing. I mean, same with Wraith Rovers, like in Tam Lango, it's like in Brad Spencer, you just think, why? Yeah. I mean, and that's hats off to John McGlynn convincing them to come to Falkirk. I'm sure there was a bit of money on the table for them as well. But the, you know, to take that step down into League One, and you know they shouldn't be playing in League One. These guys are lower end.
The fact that we signed all three on the same day, like I don't think you now look back and think
there's never been a better signing day. I think remember when we signed Stevie Quirk, Paul McGrillan, and it was somebody else on the same day. I think that's the.
Has there been a better threesome? I'm going to put that question.
Well, we'll not get into your personal life, Ross. but I mean, it's just look at that. And a resident Stato, Donald Johnson, has been touched out to Donald. He says he can't find three goals quicker than in 5 minutes, but he's found a game where it was equaled, which was in the Scottish Cup against Highlands League side that we played, Inverness, Cali, who were at the time in the Highland League. On the 19th of February 1955, we won 7-0 and we scored three goals in the 52nd, 54th and 57th minutes. So that's the only time that it's happened. We've had three goals within 5 minutes in Falkirk's history, aside from that game. There you go.
There you go.
Indeed. Good fact. Thank you, Donald, as ever. Love it. So, I mean, games gone to bed, but we continued relentless. We use that word again. You know, Nessie, great run, drags a shot past the post. Miller with another shot comes in from the left, another shot. And then we had another goal, and obviously Calvin Miller at it again. This is his third assist. Went down the left, beat a man, laid it on a plate for Spencer, and Spencer just, we know he's got it in him, just to hit it from distance and place it.
I'd actually go back a bit, and it was McCann, did he not have, was it not a sliding challenge that he had?
Yes, you're right. He won the ball back, didn't he?
And I think Miller takes the praise for how good he was on that game, but I think McCann had a solid game as well.
Yeah.
And yeah. If Miller wasn't on that pitch, I think we might be bigging up McCann. But no, that was a good sliding challenge from McCann. He certainly played his part in that goal.
Yeah, because they were breaking away, weren't they? You're right, it was a really well timed sliding tackle. In terms of obviously to the finish, Spencer just absolutely loves a goal against Stirling Albion, did he? That three games against struggling Albion, I think, isn't it?
And it was a screamer.
It was really tidy finish.
Where do you think? Here's a question for you: are we stronger on the right or are we stronger on the left? So you look at Yeats and Morrison on the right. You look at Miller and McCann on the left. obviously all the goals came from the left there on Saturday. So is that the argument? You know, you've already talked about Morrison, Ross, not being as consistent as Miller. Finn Yeats, obviously we talked about it being an 8 out of 10, but are we stronger going down the left, do you think?
I think we may be, offensively. I think we might be. It's a tough one because Morrison tends to get marked far tighter than Miller does, because he's earned a badge of being a dangerous player, and it's not Miller hasn't, because Miller is a dangerous player. But I think Morrison is probably the person that most teams go, right, we need to double up on this guy. So he probably is impacted a bit more by that. But then that creates space for others, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. What about you, Gam? What are you thinking?
I'm kind of going with Ross in this one. I think it's too hard to call. And yeah, Morrison is, as Ross said, he's earned that badge, so he is getting marked out of the game constantly. I wouldn't like to call that. I think it's a hard one.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Sit on that bench.
Yeah. I think we have to.
We talked about the Hendo chance that he was raging again. Again, we talked about McCann there, Grant. Great ball in for Hendo at the edge of the box. First shot's blocked. Absolutely. He then gets the rebound and it goes, misses it from the rebound. I was raging with himself, though. You could just tell him banging the ground, just an absolute rage.
But that's great. It shows a bit of passion.
Yeah.
And it shows he wants to score. So, obviously he missed, but still brilliant. Still brilliant. Played well.
And I mean, we've got a mention before we kind of round up this, you know, in the first half to Miles Hogarth, Mickey Hogarth.
Miles for having a child 25 years ago.
Yeah, thanks for Miles for having a child. But yeah, Mickey obviously pulled off a couple of really good saves from Hilson. You know, I've seen a few people critical of Nicky, and maybe that we talked about transfer speculation. A lot of people would like to see us go and get an experienced goalkeeper in there. But, you know, he stood up to it, and I think there's been a bit of criticism of his distribution, but certainly his shot stopping is up there, you know?
I think Hogarth has just been needing a bit of confidence. I think that's what he's been lacking. And I think as that game progressed at the weekend, I think you could see that confidence starting to build again. And I think keeping a clean sheet, I think hopefully that's given him some of the confidence that he's needing. I think that's all it is. And
yeah, well, that's two in a row now. That's two in a row for Mickey, keeping the clean sheets. So, yeah, it'll be interesting when we'll talk about Queen of the South in a bit. But yeah, that'll be, I guess, a big aim for him to just keep those clean sheets coming. And he's obviously very well assisted by the two players he's got in front of him. So second half, the game's to bed, isn't it? You know, so it allows smartly John McGlynn to rotate the squad a bit. You know, Gary Oliver, we know we can rely on him and what he can offer. Stephen McGinn is a perfect game to get 45 minutes under his belt when you're 4-0 up, isn't it?
Yeah, and needed it as well. So Stephen McGinn's obviously just been coming on, but getting 10, 15 minutes the last few weeks as well, hasn't he? So getting a full half, and he didn't look out of place in the second half. At no point did I think, oh, he's struggling here with fitness or otherwise. I don't remember, as Grant, correct me, I don't remember, when he was struggling before, players were just sort of running past him with ease. Yeah. That wasn't really happening on Saturday in the second half. But it was great to see him back, and he was spraying the ball about really well. Completely different player to Spencer and Hendo, obviously. But I think it was two good subs to bring on. I actually thought he might have made three, but then he was obviously being a bit more cautious with potential injuries and stuff in the second half as well.
Yeah. Who would be the third player you would have brought off and brought on, Ross?
What, in terms of the first half?
Yeah.
It's a tough one because the front three were not doing anything wrong. They really, really weren't. Morrison probably had the quietest of the game of the front three, and he did look pissed off when he got subbed, but then he looks pissed off when he gets subbed anyway.
Yeah.
Even if it's like with 30 seconds to go. But I think there may have been an argument for maybe Aguiman coming on and reshuffling the front, the sort of three. But listen, it worked again because we scored very, very early into the second half again, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, and then that's another different scorer this time, which was great. And I'm sure, I don't know, I saw the SPFL putting up what was the best goal of the game. For me, this was probably the best goal of the game. Messi strolling forward, who again, we talk, he looked like he had a really good game as well. Great ball into Gary Oliver, who on the turn just turns and hits it from 18 yards into the top bin. Great goal, really good, well worked goal. Best goal of the match for you, Grant, or do you think one of the other ones are better?
I think the second, the whole Miller Spencer corner and Miller coming around into the box and taking the shot. I think that was goal for me, but I'm not taking it away from Oliver. It was a cracking goal.
It was.
Boss, what was your favourite goal?
I think aesthetically pleasing for the full move is definitely Miller's goal from the corner. I actually didn't think, I don't know why, I did watch Oliver's goal because I saw him strike it. I had visions of it not being as high, but when I saw a video from someone behind the goals, there's a fan in the Kev McAllister stand who always takes videos after the game, during the game, and I saw the finish from his angle, and it was an absolute peach of a curling shot into the top corner. So, yeah, phenomenal strike. But I think I'll side with Grant. I think the move, I would give it to Miller. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, and then I think the second half just petered out, as tends to do when you've went. Like, scored four in the first half. It just petered out. Changes obviously made. Give some players a run out. Alfie obviously came on. You've got to feel sorry. Alfie Aguiman hasn't done much wrong this season. I mean, you just don't know what you're great at with Alfie, but you know, he's an impact player, and you just hope to see him come off the bench a bit more, like you were saying, Ross, and getting more of a run out to make that impact. Yeah. But as I've said, Miller and Morrison, you can't displace either one of those at the moment. Absolutely not. So yeah, job done. Up the road, 3 points, 5 goals. Can he complain with a clean sheet as well? Brilliant.
Ross, I don't know about you, but this has been really selfish and greedy. We won 5-0, but did you just not want more?
I did want more. Yeah. I remember saying, I'm trying to think who was sitting beside me. It may have been Gary. I remember saying to him, like, listen, 5-0 is lovely, but like 7 or 8 is a dickin', isn't it? And it probably is selfish wanting more, but that's where we're at, though. We've got it in us to absolutely melt someone this year. And I mean, like, proper, like, get close to 9-10 goals. There's going to be a game where it's going to happen.
It's certainly helped with the goal difference as well. I mean, you know, 33 plus in terms of goal difference now, which is phenomenal. Obviously, Hamilton going to Edinburgh and getting 5 goals as well. I mean, in fairness to Edinburgh, they managed to get 2 back on them. But, you know, it just gives you that, you know, scoring goals like that and those opportunities. You think, well, if we got a few more, it's going to help with the goal difference. Who knows if that will be a factor come the end of the season. But yeah, 5 points, you know, 5 points clear, game in hand, unbeaten. It's just great. There's some punditry for you.
It's just a weird feeling this year. Like I'm waiting for something to fuck up. I don't want it to. But
I think every Falkirk supporter is in that position. We're just waiting for something to fuck up because we know we're Falkirk supporters. We do. And by the way, up he's still in Albion. That Grangemouth chat can get in the bin. They're saying we're off the good. Other teams have tried that chat and came to the stadium, got battered as well. So up the road, wees. See you later. Bye bye.
They did though, didn't they? Because Edinburgh tried that patter in November as well, didn't they? Although controversial moment, gents, and hopefully not too many away fans are going to listen to this podcast. But see, because of the works that they're doing down at the stadium, where you know how they're putting the new road layout in and what have you, they've moved the Grangemouth sign, and it's now right at the Westfield roundabout. So if you've got some pedantic wanker going, it's in Grangemouth, it actually currently is, because they've moved the bloody Grangemouth sign, because there's nowhere else for the Grangemouth sign.
Yeah, I always thought the cutoff to Grangemouth was the train track, the bridge.
I thought it was as well. And the signage before the work started, I'm sure, was just before the, you know how it starts to go up at the, up the hill towards like Evans Halshaw and stuff. I'm sure the sign used to be there, but they've actually brought the sign down right at the Westfield roundabout now.
I don't like this. Is this Grange Mouse incursion into Falkirk? Is this some like some sort of invasion of Grange Mouse coming out of Falkirk, moving the borders?
They're probably going to start claiming the Kelpies in a second as well.
That's true. That's true. They'll be at it. They'll be at it. I know what those lot from Grange Mouth are like. Right, okay. Let's find out then what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match.
Hi, John. Obviously, a lot of work going in to clear the pitch today, but I think that performance more than made up for it.
Yeah, a big thank you to all the volunteers that came along this morning and helped us out. You know, I arrived here myself at 20 past 11, the pitch was covered, and you know, you pick up the snow shovel and you just get on with it, because all it is hard work. The club eventually put out a little bit of an SOS to come and give us a hand, and so we thank everyone that came along and helped out. Without that, the game maybe wouldn't have gone ahead and we wouldn't be standing here talking about such a great performance for the team. The boys were fantastic today, five different goal scorers, such an entertaining performance. You know, the football we played, Calvin Miller just absolutely unstoppable right now, he's unplayable. Five different goal scorers, starting with Liam Henderson, a great header, it's a great corner kick played in by Calvin, and then one of the corner kicks of the work, there's a couple of variations to it, and Calvin picks the right one by coming inside and he just takes the ball away in the far corner. So well, two goals up, third goal, great ball in for Calvin Miller, and Big Ross getting in the back area, great header, exactly what we're looking for him to do. And so 3-0 up, 15 minutes, absolutely flying. You know, couldn't be better. And then there's quite a bit of passing involved in the fourth goal, I think. I've not seen it all back. And it's really set up for Bad Spencer to come on and get a great strike in just from the, about the 18-yard box. And so 4-0 half-time, absolutely delighted. It gave us a wee chance to pat one or two guys in the back, one or two, nothing serious injuries, just a little bit knocks here and there, no point taking any sort of chances, just to a bit precautionary, nothing to worry about with Brad and with Hendo, so we keep them nice and fresh for the games coming up. We've got a really good squad here and we've got to try and use the squad to keep everybody motivated, you know, so we make two subs at half time, we make 3 or 10 minutes into the second half. And Gary Oliver comes up with an amazing goal as well, and we could have added as well. So, absolutely delighted. As I say, we end up getting five subs on. You're probably not going to make changes at the back if you don't have to. And we made changes to the front four and the two guys in central midfield. So great to be able to do that, give other guys game time, keep everybody involved, feeling like part of the whole thing, because we're going to need the whole squad. You know, it's a great performance, five goals, it helps the goal difference. Can't compliment the players anymore. You know, the players have been different class, absolutely different class since they came in June, start of pre-season, and the way they've gone about it, 23 games unbeaten. 23 points this quarter, another 23 points this quarter, it's significant. 46 points, you know, after 18 games. Again, absolutely fantastic. So I can't praise, the players enough, and I'll always kind of go back to the volunteers that turned up, the ground staff here, the one backroom staff, myself, Smudger, Tony, Matty, Hendo, Alec, all the guys got a shovel and, helping remove the snow. So a great big thank you. Hope all the fans have had a great Christmas, and we would like to wish them, a happy new year when it comes.
There we go. Very happy John McGlynn there. You could hear the little arms going up and down, which means he's a happy boy. The Penguin is happy. Let's continue that. We should call him Happy Feet, really, shouldn't we?
He was definitely chuffed there. I don't know what how many minutes that was. It felt like quite a long answer to the
It was about 3:33, Ross.
3:33. There you go. Was there a slightly thin dig about the delay to get the pitch?
I believe there was when he said eventually the club managed to get a tweet out for it. See, if the club had got out earlier, you wouldn't have been in that first pint in the wheat sheaf. You'd have been able to get down there with a shovel, Ross. Do you know what I mean? So, listen, the club have got themselves to blame for Ross Lane not helping with the snow. So,
it got done, which is amazing. I don't know what the club did for the people, and this is hopefully they got something, even if it was just like a food voucher for the pie or something, but hopefully they did, or free entry of the game maybe. But Yeah, no, great to see. And you know, it wouldn't have been a photo thing with John McGlynn either. You can just imagine him being out there clearing that pitch as best as he could till it was done. So, you know, fair play to the guy.
Yep. Brilliant. Right, listen, let's get on to what you guys said about the game. Ali kicks off by saying, been saying Calvin Miller is class for a while. Hopefully he's settled and plays for us in the championship if we get there.
That's the hope. Ryan says, absolutely ruthless. Fantastic performance to end the year. Miller, McCann and Nesbitt were brilliant yesterday.
Graham says, brilliant. Could have been more. McGlynn giving fringe players game time the right decision, although it stopped us getting more goals. We will need these guys in the months to come, which is obviously what John said there. A good day's work.
Indeed. Stuart says, 5 cracking goals as well. Could have been, could have got a few more, but a clean sheet and improving our goal difference in Aki's whilst Cove also dropped points isn't a bad Saturday result.
Can we rule Cove out now? I mean, we are now 14 points clear of Cove. We're playing them next Tuesday. I guess it all depends on the result next Tuesday. Even then, it goes to 11 points.
Yeah. I think if you were to win next week, 17 points is a hell of a lot. 14 points feels like a hell of a lot as well, because do we look like dropping 14 points? Mm. I'm not convinced we will.
Yeah.
Grant, what about you?
I'm not confident enough to say, yeah, we can forget about him, because
no one's ever confident as a Falkirk supporter. It's a silly question to ask, and I apologise.
And it's just that little,
yeah,
that little rat coming back and haunting us.
Oh, no, I know, I know. We'll talk about the Cove game in the next podcast, obviously, but oh, jeez, yeah. Anyway, Ali, a walk in the park and a joy to watch. Miller and Nesbitt were outstanding. Oliver's goal pipped it for me, but no one can complain when 5 different players give you 5 goals in a game. A brilliant performance. Get in!
Indeed. Cammy says, first half was cracking to watch some real quality goals. Calvin Miller was very impressive again. Good to get another clean sheet and improve the goal difference. Come on, the Burns.
Yeah, Chris, thought it was a very polished performance, the kind of dominance we should be showing against these teams at home. Miller was exquisite. I love that word. Nizzy covered every blade of fake grass. The double save from Hogarth as well was magic.
Indeed. John says, it's easy at times to underestimate that victory. Stirling haven't conceded a huge amount of goals and some of the play was outstanding. This team is like night and day. Miller makes the game look so easy. Definitely better level than League One, just as you said, John, earlier on. Hopefully he will be next season.
Grant says, Calvin Miller, unplayable, just destroyed them first half. Good performances all round. Hogarth made a couple of decent saves when needed. Happy that we gave some game time to the fringe players when we had the chance.
Indeed. And to finish us off, we had Pamela said, 5 goals, 5 different scorers, clean sheet, out fucking standing again in quite horrible conditions. The navy blue. Happy New Year, everybody.
There you go.
Nice. It's quite nice. It's quite nice to hear all these positive comments from our fans this season, isn't it?
isn't it?
It's nice and fluffy.
There's not much you can be negative. The thing is, there's not much you can be negative about, you know, which is very surprising for Falkirk.
Do we sometimes miss hearing that Ryan Williamson's a lazy cunt, though? you sort of feel you want to talk about it sometimes, don't you?
I know. Well, that's true. I mean, looking at the table, like we say, 5 points clear, you know, game in hand. We get, like, you know, it's a big if we beat Cove at home. That's 8 points clear. Even if we get a draw against Cove, you know, 6 points clear at this stage in the season, you know, with Hamilton to play at the stadium next, it's, you know, and we'll talk about the Queen of the South. That's probably got its issues in itself. But, oh, yeah. I'm not being negative, fully positive, but it's good. That, I just want to put that out there. We're doing well. Right, okay. Right, folk at Daft Rated. It's only going to be one winner, but I'll come to you first, Ross.
Do you know what? I'm going to surprise you, John.
Oh, no.
It should just be one. No, listen.
You can't. Just be... Please don't tell me you're surprising me all. Right, who are you giving it to?
No, I think you'll like who I'm going to give it to.
Right.
I got a message for during the week. A guy called Robert Talker for Cairnshore, big Falkirk fan for the 70s, took his grandkids, unfortunately passed away last Saturday night, but he had saw his team win 5-0 last Saturday, as happy as Larry. And a big shout out to him. So Falkirk Daft Raid is going to be Robert Talker.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't think we'll beat that. I mean, Calvin Miller was the obvious one.
On the pitch, obvious choice, I think. Yeah,
Robert Tucker is the Falkirk. Oh, God, I'm not even going to ask this question. Who's the Falkirk Dafty? Is there a Falkirk Dafty? The club for eventually getting the tweet out.
Yes.
According to John McGuinn.
So, see, before I say who I think the Falkirk Dafty is, and it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Ross, did Finn Yeats have a sort of a square go with one of the advertising bollards or something? I didn't quite see what happened. Yes, so I was going to give it to him based on that.
He did, didn't he? Did he run into the advertising thing and knocked his knee or something like that? But it felt self-inflicted at the time.
And he needed medical attention. Yeah. That's about as best I can.
Right, Falkirk Dafty, give it to Finn since he ran into an advertising board. You can't, like the Chuckle Brothers, like, honestly. Brilliant. Okay, we'll give it to Finn then. Right, brilliant. So the fact is, we are the only professional side in the UK unbeaten now, I believe. And there's apparently only 5 teams across the professional leagues in Europe. Thank you, Joe Hind, for doing the research on this, that are unbeaten. We are one of the 5 professional teams across Europe that are unbeaten. So
did she tell you who the other 4 are?
I don't know who the other 4 is, but let's keep it going. Let's be the last man standing in Europe. That would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you know what? People will say to me, oh, you're in League One. No, that's what you should be doing. Still, it doesn't matter what league. You look at Man City, you look at Liverpool, you know, teams like that, to get to this point unbeaten is a phenomenal achievement. And let's not forget that. Even though we're in League One, you know, it's an amazing achievement. So let's keep it going. Last man standing in the UK. Let's see if we can be the last man standing in Europe. Let's go. Let's go. There we go. Listen, Grant, thank you so much for coming and joining us in Falkirk Daft. Right, I'm going to ask you a question though.
Okay.
What do you say for results for the rest of the season?
Keep them coming.
brilliant. Listen, Grant, thanks, it's been absolutely brilliant to have you on. If you want to be a guest pundit, we'd love to have you on as well. Drop us a DM on Twitter or Facebook, or pop us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And the unbeaten train hopefully continues against Queen of the South this Saturday at the stadium. Unfortunately for us, though, Queen of the South are one of the form teams in the league. It really looks like they can get back into those playoffs, Ross. I mean, they were having a really bad time. And then Marv made the comments about players playing computer games. And that seems to have galvanised them. So they've obviously stopped playing FIFA and Call of Duty. And they've obviously started thinking, well, we're professional footballers. We better start playing football. 3 wins and a draw out of their last 4 games.
Yeah, no, it's obviously improved. I think if we play as we can, I don't think they'll touch us. I think we'll have enough on our own accord. I might have said this in July or whatever it was, but the only team that's going to cock us up this year in a game or in the season is ourselves. So I think if we stick to what we're good at, I think we'll score another couple of goals, another few goals on Saturday. It'll be tough, though.
I mean, look at the results so far this season. You know, the last minute goal from Spencer at the stadium last time around, 1-1 down at their place as well. Yeah. They have probably, out of all the teams, you know, one of the teams that are giving us the problems. Actually, you look at the ones that are just below it, Queen of the South, Montrose, Cove Rangers, and Hamilton. They're all the teams that we've actually dropped points against. When you look down the table,
the Queen of the South one's weird though, because it feels like when we've spoken to Queen of the South fans on social media or otherwise, they've all said that the games against Falkirk up until this recent run, the games against Falkirk were like completely against the grain, because it looks like they'd stepped it up a level, they were up for it, whereas that I don't think appeared the same in all their other games.
Yeah.
Obviously they've now done something about it. So it will probably be a tougher game than we're talking about, but we've got it in us, John, to put another few goals past any team in this league. We really do.
our record at the stadium against Queen's House is pretty decent. 15 Falkirk wins to 4 for them, 5 draws. So he got a good record at the stadium. Actually, the total matches, 47 league matches against them. In fact, actually 47 matches in total against them. 23 Falkirk wins, 12 for Queen of the South, 12 draws. So we've got a decent enough record against them. I mean, I speak to Marvin. I work beside Marvin on Super Scoreboard in Clyde.
Football friend.
And yeah, I mean, they've had a lot of injuries this season. The Palmerston Pep, as we call him, has a lot of injuries to deal with. But he seems to, you know, Martin's a lovely, lovely guy. And, you know, obviously want to see him do well, not against Falkirk. But,
is that his problem, do you think, John? Like, I know you know him, so you might not want to talk about it. But is that his issue? Is he too nice a guy?
No, I don't. I think once you get him onto a football ground, I think he's one of these people, as soon as across the white line or enter a dressing room, you're going to get a very different guy.
Right.
But I think they've had a lot of injury problems this season, but my worry is they seem to have turned around the corner since that whole outburst about, you know, gaming and stuff like that. It's obviously got to the players and he's got a reaction to that. And that record that they've had, and especially when you talk about them raising their game against us, they'll be looking to bloody our nose. And let's sort of remember, there's a target on our back now. This unbeaten run, it'll be a target on the back now. Every manager will go, right, these are the only unbeaten team in the UK. Let's put that to an end right now today. Yeah. And it's got that's a manager's team talk from here until it ends. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what motivation it is for players to go and bloody that nose, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just think we need to make the most of these home games as well. We've got two home games on the spin now before three away games, I think it is. Granted, one of the away games is the Scottish Cup, but I think we need to get 6 points for these next two games.
I would fancy Edinburgh look like they are done. From all the players have left and they're playing their under-19s, Edinburgh, I think, are absolutely done. I will be amazed if they pick up, I would say, 5 points until now.
See that scoreline at half-time on Saturday, if they were 5-0 down, obviously. Mm-hmm. And as you said, fair play to them for getting a couple of goals back in the second half. But I can see that sort of scoreline becoming a regularity for them.
You feel sorry for proper... I mean, we spoke to some of the Edinburgh boys on this podcast and you feel really sorry for those supporters because they have been through the mill with that club.
Yeah.
Absolutely through the mill. And it just seems something's not right happening in the background there. Something's definitely not right. And the fact, you know, they've scrapped their women's team, they've scrapped their... one of their lower league reserve team or whatever it is, you know, and they're basically, you know, you see all the players that are leaving and they're effectively left with their under-19s. It looks like an absolute mess over Edinburgh City Way. So you don't think they're, you know, if there was talk about they could go bust. Now, I don't know the rulings, but someone said to me, and I don't know if this is right, and it doesn't sound right to me, that if the club was liquidated, any results that stood against them, you would lose.
That's right. It is right. I think that the
bonus they've taken points off Hamilton.
Yeah, but they've just signed a lad on loan from Hibs yesterday. So the fact that they're signing players on loan hopefully suggests that, because the league won't want them to go bust either, right? Yeah. So I imagine if there's any money from sponsorship that can be paid to them sooner rather than later, then the SPFL might do that.
Well,
to keep them going. I remember, did they not do that with Gretna a number of years ago as well? When they were in the Premier League, I think they got monies owed to them that they were going to get at the season's end a bit earlier. So hopefully it doesn't come to that, because yeah, you're right. It would be a horrible situation for all these points to get taken off teams. Obviously, we've took 6 points off them. Accies have took. And have they played them 3 times, or is it just the twice? I think they've maybe got 4 points off Accies so far, unless they've played them 3 times. But we'd definitely want them to see the league out, and hopefully they do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Falkirk Stadium, 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. One player we've got to look out for is Gavin Riley. 10 goals this season, decent record. He seems to have upped his game. Obviously, they lost his name's just escaped my head, who went up to Queens, who signed for Queens Park, scored all the goals last season.
I can't think of his name either.
That's totally escaped me there, but
Brody? Yeah, they've done well to revive themselves from that, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. So Gam Riley seems to be doing the business for them. So
I saw McGuffey scored not so much a worldie from far out, but he beat about five players before slotting a goal home last Saturday. So his confidence will be.
And he'll certainly be looking to score against us as well.
Yeah. He went off injured earlier in the season, didn't he?
When he did against us, actually. He went off injured. So Guff will be looking to come back and do the business. I'm sure it won't be in our
as much as he's got a goal in him, though, John. I think we need.
He's always got a worldie in him. That's the problem, is Guff's always got a worldie in him. That's it.
He's got a goal in him, but he's not a great. Like, if he was in our squad this season, he wouldn't be starting games.
I'm not
even sure where I would see him coming off the bench. But he's maybe got a goal in him and he'll be trying like a bear. But I think if we stick to what we're good at, that'll be a Falkirk win come quarter
to five. Rory Payton.
There you go. Well done.
There we go. Got there in the end. Everyone was sitting shouting at the YouTube and shouting at the podcast. It's Rory Payton. Yeah, it is Rory Payton. So, fingers crossed. Predictions?
I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say 3-1 Falkirk.
There we go.
3-1. What about you?
I'll take a wee 2 hour. A wee 2 hour. Keep that clean.
Anyone will do, as we keep saying.
Anyone will do. Should write a song like that. That's terrible, by the way. Right, okay. So 2-0 for me, 3-1 for Ross. Fingers crossed one of those results comes in on Saturday.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it, ladies and gentlemen, for Falkirk Daft this week. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you had a great New Year and a great Christmas. Great to be back, Ross.
Indeed. Loved it. Love it, as always, mate. As always.
Let's hope this year we finally get out of this damn league. That would be great as champions. And maybe, like you say, a wee cup win and a wee Scottish Cup run would be decent as well. So
that's it. And we've got history of winning the Challenge Cup in seasons where we were in the league. So fingers crossed.
That's very true. Let's see if we can do it this season. And thank you very much for listening or watching us here. Get us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and the gram at Falkirk Daft. And you can buy merch, like I said before, if you're looking for, spend that Christmas money that's burning a hole in your pocket, get that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You could have a Falkirk Daft dog bandana, unlike Ross's relatives, which is very disappointing. Get in touch with us anytime you want. John@falkirkdaft.co.uk, Ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or DM us on the socials. And thanks once again for Peter and all the troops over at Haldane Construction. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Right, that's it. Big Grant did his catchphrase earlier on, Ross, so we'll just leave it to your catchphrase now.
Absolutely, mate. Expect the unexpected, everyone. Season Saturday.